Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
I don't know if any of you have ever had one of those nights where the next day is a little hazy and you can't quite piece together what happened the night before, or indeed worse, you can't remember anything at all. And the person I'm going to speak to now had many of these nights out as a serious and serial blackout drinker, often waking up in strangers' houses and beds with no idea how she got there. Her name is Sarah Heppala, and she is the author of Blackout, Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget. Good morning to you, Sarah.
Good morning to you.
Did I pronounce your second name correctly?
You did. I'm so impressed.
Oh, gosh, I'm delighted, because I've got to get that right from the start. Thanks for taking our call so early in the morning. But let's talk a little bit about you. In the early pages of your book, you write that you held the belief that the best evenings were the ones you might forget, which is a philosophy that might be worrying to some people. Why the need for that?
Well, you know, I think I, like a lot of young people, I just wanted a life that mattered. I wanted a big life. And I think you receive a lot of messages from pop culture or movies that you watch. And there's this idea that, you know, that life is almost, it's those big crashing evenings when later everyone's sort of like, oh, my gosh, what happened? And all these amazing things have happened. It's you know, when I was younger, it felt to me, I used the phrase in the book, that alcohol was the gasoline of all adventure. Mm. I don't know if you guys call it petrol over there. Mm. But this idea that alcohol kind of rolled out the red carpet to a kind of life that I didn't feel I had access to as this ordinary person that struggled with shyness and didn't quite know how to go after guys that I liked or dance even. I mean, a lot of times I just felt so locked in my own body. And then when I would have alcohol, you know, what does alcohol do? It lowers your inhibition. It lowers your judgment. And these sort of crazy things start to happen. So, yeah, I did have this feeling like alcohol was a way to access a bigger life than one that I could get on my own.
Right, and that lesson was learned very early. I mean, you were shy of your 12th birthday. Let's call it you were 11, which is what you were end of summer work party at the arcade where your sister worked. Talk us through that night, because that's where it began.
Yeah. It was actually my cousin. So it was my older cousin. And I was just shy of my 12th birthday, and my older cousin was 16. So it was pretty appropriate for her to get together at this party, and all the kids were drinking. It was the end of summer, and, I had spent a lot of my life in those years just on the sidelines with her. You know, by that age, if you're 12 and your cousin's 16 and you're hanging out all the time, I mean, I was just kind of on the benches, you know, waving at people as they passed, you know, cheering them on. I was not a part of the parade. And this kid gave me a beer and I drank it because I have always loved the taste of beer. And I know now that that's really strange. And that a lot of kids and girls, especially, they just detest the taste of beer. And all I can tell you is that I felt magnetically called to it. And so, you know, somebody gives me a beer and I drink it and I just keep going, which, you know, becomes kind of one of the signatures of my drinking life, which is that once I started, I was not going to stop. And I remember the sort of pierced by divine light moment of this evening. Still, you know, I'm 40 years old now. I still remember this. You know, I could talk. And for somebody that had struggled so much with shyness, to be unloosened like that and to be able to, I felt like, oh my gosh, I can talk and I can laugh and people are laughing at me. I was being funny in a way that I'd always wanted to be, but I kept going. And what happened was, you know, I drank to the point where I blacked out. I didn't know that because did you know what a blackout was, by the way, when you read this book?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Sure, I'm Irish.
Okay, well, but it's really interesting to me because in the States, people really don't understand. Like, there's about, like, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, of course I know what a blackout is. I have it all the time. Mm. But, like, a lot of people think it's passing out, and they don't understand that you're still, you know, you're still conscious. Mm. You just can't remember because the recorder in your brain has shut down. And so, you know, I woke up the next day, and my cousin was like, you know, don't you, you know, do you remember doing, you know, this thing? And one of the things was like taking my pants off and running around, which you have to understand, I was the most, I was so body conscious. I'd had this early puberty and I never wanted people to see my body. And so the idea that I was going like with my pants off, it was just crazy to me. And this was the first time that I realized, you know, you could drink yourself to this point of amnesia, which still to this day just seems like such a weird science fiction thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do things and then you don't, you know, you don't know what you did, and then people have to tell you. It's so strange.
Yeah, but even the image you paint of sitting at the bottom of the steps crying at the age of 11, saying everyone loves you more than me and this sort of thing, it's very, you know, I'm feeding the stereotype, I'm Irish, we all drink too much and all the rest of it, and that's fine, and but there's truth in the gag somewhere. But for you at 11 doing that is, it's worrying, to say the least, but it kind of kick-started a career, essentially, in drinking just too much and blacking out too much.
Yeah, drinking too much, blacking out too much, and drinking to a place of some weird morbidity where I would always sort of start complaining that people didn't love me enough, you know? And I think that for a lot of, this is, you know, a little weird and deep, but it's like there is this kind of love hole that you have. You know, you feel sort of not good enough in the world. That's how I felt. And it's like, ah, this drinking, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel happy. And it's almost like a roller coaster, you know, like you're going up, 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 and there's a certain point where you're going down. And I was always going down at the end of the evening. And it was like, oh, people don't love me enough, and I'm not good enough. And, you know, so and I always remembered the first part of the evening. I always remembered that roar of life coming into my body. Oh, I feel good. I feel exactly how I should. This is perfect. We're bonding. You know, I always remembered that. And then I couldn't remember the rest of it, which was the part that that was the problem for people around me, you know. And there was an actual physiological problem here, which was I was blacking out. And the older I got, the more disconnected I became from that behavior. You know, when you don't remember what you did, it's kind of like it didn't happen, you know.
Well, that's
it has this weird feeling, you know, like, I didn't really do that, but you did.
Yeah. Yeah, and you described that very well when you where you're heading into your 20s, and everyone's out on the as we say on the tear the night before, and the next day you're kind of half trying to piece it together in a jocular way, saying, "Oh, that was gas today. It wasn't too crazy, was I?" You know.
Yeah, exactly. So you become really an expert in fishing.
Yeah.
For information.
I think you called it CSI hangover, which I thought was brilliant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, no, I mean, you know, like you have to do investigative work on your own life because you wake up and you're like, why is there a pizza box in the middle of the floor? Yeah. And like, you know,
or who's he?
The orange juice. Yeah, like what's his name? You know, like it definitely runs the gamut. Yeah, you know, look at receipts. You know those bar receipts when you're drunk and you don't remember it at all? And the signature looks like an EKG or something. It's just like, who signed this? It's not even a human.
Oh, no, it's not funny at all, but it is. It's funny
it's
macabre humor.
It's so painful. You know, it's just like, you know, you have to laugh at it. It's like, you know, comedy is tragedy plus time, right? And there's so much pain in those moments because you have this mortification of like, I don't know what I did. And I do think as humans, that's kind of thunderously wrong to not know how you got there. Because one of the things we have is a brain that allows us the consciousness to remember how we got places.
Yeah.
So when that gets disrupted, it's really strange. And my impulse was always to laugh at it. You know, I am part Irish. I think, you know, one of the beautiful things that Ireland has is just a beautiful ability to laugh. And that's such a strong part of my personality. And I was always making jokes about it. And that is great because that's a beautiful human impulse, a beautiful impulse to turn pain into joy. However, you know, what I also had to eventually admit that it wasn't just funny. It also had a lot of implications for the people around me. It was sad. It was sad to them. Ultimately, it was really sad to me because I wasn't getting the life that I wanted. Mm. It was keeping me from that.
What was it doing to your sex life?
Where to start? You know, I think the thing is, you know, as a young woman who didn't know how to be comfortable in her own body, mm-hmm. alcohol is how I learned to put myself out there. You know, I want to be close with men. I want to be, you know, have that kind of, you know, bravado and swagger that you see other women have. But if you feel, like I said before, locked in your own body, I don't, you know, I'm shaking, I'm nervous. There's nothing like less sexy than like the nervous shake voice, you know, like, hi, you know. And so you want to drink yourself away from that. One of the things that happened to me was I drank myself too far. Mm. You know, and, you know, alcohol lowers judgment, it lowers inhibition. If you drink all of that stuff away, then the things that you say yes to are very different than the things that you say yes to when you're sober. You know, so, you know, for many years, my dating plan was very simple. Go to a bar and see what happens.
Right.
I mean, that was it. Like, I didn't have to go on a dating site. I mean, it was great, you know, but also it led to all sorts of things that I don't know that I necessarily wanted. You know, I have a line in my book that says, you know, I drank myself to a place where I didn't care, and I woke up a person that cared enormously. Many yeses on Friday night would have been no's on Saturday morning. You know, and that's a strange, mm-hmm. a little bit of a dark place to be for a woman, frankly, for a man, too. But, you know, but I only know my life as a woman. And so I know that there were a lot of times that it was just kind of like, why did I do that? Was that adventure? Was that, is it great that I have an evening I might regret? Like, I'm not sure that's as great as I thought it was going to be.
You were talking about, because
living inside. You know,
we're, we'd be of a similar vintage, and the role models for you, I suppose, in the 90s or thereabouts would have been the likes of, and you mentioned this, Carrie Bradshaw, Sex and the City, and Bridget Jones. So that was, you know, there was always a glass of something involved. I mean, would you see that as some class of influence on what we're talking about?
Well, I will say that they were hugely influential in terms of how people understood the single adult female life and the liberated female life. I was already drinking. Nobody put a glass in my hand. What those women did was they made it so that my life seemed like material or, you know, comedy or adventure. I think that is a little bit, that feeds this idea that alcohol, you know, like especially Bridget Jones, you know, really it was a lot of misadventures around booze, and she put that drink, that glass at the center of her life. I was already doing that, you know, that was how my life looked. And so therefore, when it continued to look like that, you kind of get this feedback from people that are like, oh, you're just like Bridget Jones. Oh, you're just like Carrie Bradshaw. And they love those heroines. Those women are what they think of as kind of the perfect single female independent life. It's really interesting to me how my single independent female life kind of turned into a life of dependence. That's my story. It's not other people's story. But yeah, I mean, I think what it did was it kind of made what I was doing look a lot lighter than perhaps it was.
What is a brownout?
Well, a brownout is a fragmentary blackout.
Right.
So there's blackout, which, you know, and by the way, brownout is also a kind of blackout. But blackouts come in two forms, fragmentary and en bloc, the French word, B-L-O-C. Fragmentary is a brownout or a partial blackout, and it's just that kind of light flickering effect so that you can maybe remember, like, getting to the bar but not ordering the drink, and you can remember leaving, but, you know, there's just, like, there's certain pieces missing. And then the en bloc blackout, which is the kind that I used to have that scared me so bad, are huge chunks of time, and mine could be hours at a stretch, and there's just nothing there. So
why did you decide, right, I've had enough of that now, blackouts, brownouts, whatever color out you want, I just want out?
Yeah. You know, I think there's this thing, you know, when you have a problem drinking, you are always waiting for that, like, horrible rock bottom moment, you know? You're just waiting for that thing that's going to scare you straight. And the truth about my life is that I had quite a few of those things. You know, I would have this moment, and it would scare the bejesus out of me. And I would think to myself, I have got to stop. And then, you know, the next day, or 4 days later or 2 weeks later or whatever, I would start again. And this was my pattern. I would have something so scary, and then I would be like, you know what? It wasn't that bad. Like, I was just being really dramatic. It's no big deal. And then I'd start again, and it would happen, and this pattern went on and on. And I think what eventually happened to me, I was 35 years old, and I had had a gone to a friend's wedding, and I had had a blackout, and I'd gotten home, and it was fine. And I'd gotten, you know, there was something really just depressing about the fact that it was like, I don't know how I got home. You know, whatever. That's how it is for me. And I just realized that maybe it wasn't going to, like, I wasn't going to end up in jail, or I wasn't going to go to the hospital or whatever. Maybe this was just going to be my life. This inertia was going to be what was the rest of my life. And that, honestly, that scared me. It scared me so badly. It was like all this time I had been drinking to have the life that I wanted, and now it felt like I was drinking just to stay in place. And it was this terrible inertia. And so, you know, I think there's a sense in you know, addiction that you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when the pain outweighs the fear, that's when change happens. And I got sick of it. And I, you know, maybe if you've ever tried to stop smoking or you've ever tried to leave a very difficult relationship and had a hard time, you know that sometimes you have to quit 100 times to make the 101st time quit and stick. And I don't know exactly why that is, but that's what happened for me 5 years ago, you know, and I was so scared that my life was over. I was so scared, you know, and I just, that's how bad it was that I was like, you know what, I'm going to take the risk. My life's over. I got to try this. I'm so glad I did, because my life was just beginning and everything just kind of started again for me there.
Good. Well, it's a fascinating story, and one I have no doubt that will resonate with plenty of men and women around this island. Sarah, it's been lovely talking to you. Good luck with everything, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you. That's Sarah Hippala, and she is the author of Blackout, Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget, and that's published by Two Roads, which is available now on Amazon. And as I say, I'm sure some of you are thinking, yep, I've been there, done that.